Move to item number 20, Americans with Disabilities Advisory Committee. This is a briefing. Dolores Noyes. We've been looking forward to this for months. I had a conversation with Dolores, what, about 4 months ago, when she educated me about the many, many responsibilities, the requirements that we live within. So now you're going to hear it.
I don't speak very loud, so I hope everybody can hear me.
Well, you need to be close to the mic. And
Tammy?
Yes.
Can you crank up the,
the mic? When
you get there.
Good morning.
Morning.
Madam Chair, Commission members, Phil, Joe, I am so glad to be here. I am Dolores Noyes. I am the ADA Program Manager for Persons with Disabilities here at Fish and Wildlife. I have a slide presentation. I'm going to just give you an overview of that.
Sorry.
That's okay. Is that better?
Talk some more.
Yeah.
Is that better?
That's good.
Okay. So there's several regulations within our federal government that regulate how we provide services for persons with disabilities. The Rehabilitation Act of 1973, which of course sets the laws, the regulations. It's the founding act, gives us the legal requirements for the federal government, federal contractors. Section 504 of that act does obligate the state and local governments to ensure that persons with disabilities have equal access to programs, services, and all those activities receiving federal funding or our federal grants. So it's very important. This is a very good program for Fish and Wildlife. The American with Disabilities Act, which was signed in 1990, goes further that and provides businesses, nonprofits, and organizations who are also receiving federal funds and grants responsibilities for persons with disabilities. That defines a disability, includes Title I, Title II enforcement through the Department of Justice and the Civil Rights Division. Here's some statistics from 2012. We have 108,000 persons with disabilities who are registered with us. They have applied for, been approved, and have received disability status. 33,000 of those are veterans. We are one of the largest out of most states to have this many veterans in our department. 74,000 are currently active with Fish and Wildlife. 4,714 applied for the road access program. That's 835 more than in 2011. 1,862 received a special use permit, and those are permits that are for those types of disabilities where they would be unable to hunt or fish or clam. What defines a disability in Washington State for hunting, fishing, and wildlife viewing? Well, of course, we have WAC 232.12.828 that provides hunting of game birds and animals for persons with a disability. 2255.065, which is our fishing for shellfish, freshwater fish, saltwater fish for persons with disability. And then our one that we... This regulation we actually borrow from DSHS, and it has to do with developmental disabilities, which is an incognitive disability, intellectual disability, similar to Down syndrome. There's four classifications of disability status here at Fish and Wildlife. One is for lower extremity impairment. That's a permanent condition which causes a physical impairment to the body's lower extremity region, therefore substantially impairing or severely interfering with mobility over natural terrain without a lower extremity prosthesis or must permanently use a medically prescribed by a physician an assisted device, including but not limited to a wheelchair, crutch, cane, leg brace, walker, and oxygen bottle. Even though the condition is in the upper extremity, the impairments that that condition causes really affect the lower extremity. Upper extremity impairments are those permanent conditions which cause physical impairments to the body's upper extremity region, therefore making the individual physically incapable of holding and safely operating a hunting, fishing, or shell harvesting device. Blind visually impaired, and just some information about that. This regulation actually comes from the 1934 Social Security Act. Before they knew what macular degeneration was, before they knew what retina detachment was, before they had identified cataracts. It's a permanent condition which the central visual acuity does not exceed 20 over 200 in the better eye with corrective lenses, or the widest diameter of the visual field is not greater than 20 degrees. So just other information is 20 over 200 is actually the demarcation line for whether you are blind or not legally blind. So essentially we're telling people that you pretty much have to be blind. This is one of the regulations that we are going to work on in the future. Developmental disability, a permanent cognitive intellectual disability which originates before the individual attains age 18. So that's the key for this different regulation, such as cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, muscular dystrophy, epilepsy, and autism. Conditions not qualifying. Here's a real important one. PTSD, ADD, ADHD, bipolar, anxiety, depression, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis, which you get normally in those later years, 35, 38.
Can we ask you questions along the way, Commissioner Smith?
Why in the last one it was obtained before the age of 18?
Like I said, this is a regulation that we did essentially piggyback on that comes from DSHS, as DSHS does work with these types of individuals and does the medical certification and the regulation for these types of individuals, and this is from their regulation.
So if a person was 19 and started to develop epilepsy, they wouldn't qualify?
No, they would not qualify. Yeah. Yeah, it's very difficult. And I'll go on. We have some exceptions to that. So this is an example of the Hunter Fisher Disability Status application. All these applications have been completely revised of this last year. This is a Hunter Fisher Reduced Fees application. This actually is going to change here this next year with House Bill 1192, which now will possibly provide non-resident veterans the opportunity to be able to come here and hunt and fish at a resident rate. So what you and I pay, they will be able to come to this state. This is an example of a special use permit application. This application is actually we start getting into those type of disabilities which kind of need that out-of-the-box accommodation. And it also, the exception to the rule is included in here, which gives us the authority to be able to accommodate. For example, we just did a gentleman I worked with, Jim, the other day, permanently uses a wheelchair, is a quadriplegic, has an electric fishing mechanism that he uses in order to fish, and he loves to fish steelhead and salmon. Well, he cannot do the fish on pole and fight that, and so he has to have the opportunity to be able to use barbs on his hook because it is a barbless area, so we gave him accommodation to use that barb. How WDFW provides opportunities and access without barriers. Hunting, we have the road access program, and I'll go into that a little bit more. We have bird blinds, special permit tags, fishing, we have ramps and dock access, special disability fisheries. For wildlife viewing, we have viewing platforms, blinds, paths, and benches. This is an example of some barrier-free hunting blinds. As you can see, we have really good access to them, either paved of some sort or it's a hard-packed gravel. They're big enough for a person in a wheelchair to be able to get into. They're not too high. They can readily use these. Accessible roads in this road access program. These are roads that are pretty level. They're not way up in the forest that they drop off at a 60-degree angle and somebody would not be able to get down over the hill. The clear cuts, all the slash that's being left now at this time. Well-constructed fishing ramps. These are some examples of some ramps that are pretty new to us that are just fantastic. The one that's in the upper left-hand corner is the Blue Creek site that was put in just a few years back. It actually provides those three pods which work with the fluctuation levels of the river as they go up and down. This site here, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, this last year actually took this site as a new site for them and a new design for them, and they are now starting to use this particular design with their road systems and the new Drano ramp, which is down by Stevens in Stevens County, now hosts this exact ramp. Docks, pods, and piers. If you look at the bottom left, that is a pier that sticks out, and as somebody is backing their boat down into the lake there, they're able to get to a certain point where a person who permanently uses a wheelchair or has some type of mobility disability can load into that before they finally unload the boat. We have several of these that actually sit up on ground now, and they're becoming a real popular item, especially for those people who are providing guiding opportunities. Wildlife viewing blinds and trails. Here's an example of a trail. Little grown over, but it is hard packed underneath there, and they can still motivate through there, get some wildlife viewing. This is an observation blind. It's tucked back into a slightly forested area and looks out over a birding area. This is just some examples of some hunters that we have in our system and how successful and how proud they are with the ability to be able to get out there and hunt just like everyone else. And so it shows you some different types of devices that they have to use, like the gentleman with the moose. He was ecstatic and was in tears when he called to tell us about this. This is the road access entry program. It does provide opportunity to get in behind locked gates. We contract with several different agencies and private timber companies. We are expanding incredibly fast. This is a new booklet that we did before. We just did a Xerox copy format, and now we've gone to a booklet because it's getting so large. This, of course, is our big game hunting season regulations, which does provide those deer and elk tags and now moose tags. We have now acquired some moose tags. Disabled hunts for those people to get behind some lock gates and into areas that normally people would not be able to get into. The Centralia Mine is a perfect example of an opportunity for a person who permanently uses a wheelchair. They have a van that they can actually get a person who uses that wheelchair out towards where the herd usually is and get him situated and do a harvest. This is the goal, is to evenly disperse ADA hunting, fishing, and wildlife viewing opportunities throughout the state. Right now, we're pretty much conglomerated in one area, which is mostly south of Mount Rainier. We have absolutely no hunting opportunities up towards the Bellingham area. up towards the Colville area, although we do work with the U.S. Forest Service up there, and we have absolutely no areas down by Walla Walla Pullman in the Blue Mountains. The Wildlife, Fish and Wildlife Advisory Committee to the Commission for Persons with Disabilities. I want to thank Gary and his team for doing the interviews here just recently. This is a group of individuals that do have permanent disabilities. Unfortunately, sometimes those disabilities don't allow them to be able to do their four-year extent in the committee, so we do see a lot of turnover. Which is unfortunate because we do get a lot of very excellent people who are very passionate. The ADA Advisory Committee projects.
Dolores?
Go ahead. Excuse
us. Commissioner Duvia?
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. Dolores, I just noticed that we, as you mentioned, we Commissioner Perry and Schmidt and I, we interviewed some people, and I already see one of the ones we just put is now Vice Chair. You must have had a...
We had a phone conversation, and we elected Kevin into that position for temporary until we get together, so.
Yes, Commissioner Perry.
You know, I'd just like to make one comment, too. I see that that Kevin Frankenberger was elected vice chair. That person was just overwhelming in terms of their leadership and enthusiasm and background, really, in disabled hunting and fishing leadership. And I think he's just an incredible addition to the committee, as well as the other people, too. But he was just exceptional.
Yeah, Kevin also works on the GMAC committee.
Yes.
And so I've been actually working with him for a little while. So I was very glad when he chose to take on another group of persons, and I think he's going to be a great aspect. So that's that.
Thank you.
So here's some of the projects that they have been working on over the last year. These are motions that are adopted and passed. We are going to revisit the RCW and the WAC language to bring those up to date to meet current law. So you'll probably see every once in a while something that'll pop up. Scopes on crossbows for persons with disabilities. I have been working with Wildlife. I do have their support. I do have support from five different groups and organizations, and so we want to make sure that we get the opportunity to be able to use a scope on a crossbow for persons with disabilities, since this is an accommodation for those people who are unable to hunt and fish, and it is a hardship to ask them to remove that scope. This is a device that was designed to be on that. It's not something that we want to tell them to remove and go out and purchase something else. And then once they attach that other device that they purchase, it now invalidates the warranty on the hunting device they just purchased. So,
Commissioner Duvia.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I don't know, this maybe you're going to go there, Dolores, on this, but this is an issue that needs to be discussed maybe between you and in the Wildlife Committee and then in front of the full commission. But there's an issue of providing opportunity or providing success.
Mm-hmm.
Is a significant difference in terms of level of and providing an impacts on scheduling seasons and so forth. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's on your upcoming projects or whatever, but that's an issue I've discussed with several handicapped people and was an issue in previous ones and started that discussion and needs to be continued. So
yeah. There is not a lot of opportunity for the amount of people that we have. And in listening to Carpenter talk about what it used to be like to fish steelhead and salmon, I remember those days as I used to assist in fish guiding before the Judge Bolt decision. And that for persons with disabilities, this is very tough. And the access that we have down on the Cowlitz River is overrun every single time that opportunity for fishing is open. And we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. the reduced fee program changed for persons with non-veteran disabled persons. So this doesn't have anything to do with the new regulations for persons who are veterans. This has to do with those three categories, which back in 2007, when this ruling was put together, was legal, and now it is not. So we want to make sure that we get this changed and brought up to speed, and we have some items that we've been looking at as, since it is a monetary assistance, we want to make sure that we put the monetary assistance in the financial column rather than putting it in the disability column, where it depends on what type of disability you have to get reduced fees. It should be about what your financial status is, and it should connect to the federal schedule on that, so for low income. Ongoing projects, development of new hunting and wildlife viewing blinds, that's real big with us right now. We're in an identification process of identifying all the blinds that we currently have, what level of deterioration they're in, and also with the new grant that we received 2 years ago from the federal government, there were 25 blinds that were installed, and we're trying to figure out which ones of those can be ADA certified. We want to expand the road access program. I have a couple of very ambitious biologists who have just been heroes in opening up conversation with Weyerhaeuser, Rainier, some of these private timber companies, and obtaining access for us. So we will have some new access out on the West Coast, and I'm very excited about that. Increase the number of special hunts for persons with disabilities, and also to create some of those hunts and tags for disabled use, because we don't have anything for that. We have a very highly recognized association within Washington State that does provide and work with Make-A-Wish Foundation that provides access for use to be able to go out and do a terminal ill hunt, or provide hunting opportunities for those who permanently use wheelchairs and who have lost limbs and stuff like that. So they're a great group. It's all a volunteer group.
Commissioner Perry has a...
Yeah, I don't know whether it's appropriate to ask the question right now, but I guess I'll jump in at that point. There's a group in Moses Lake where I live that specializes in working with young people, kids basically, mm-hmm. that are terminal, mm-hmm. and they're not expected to live very much longer, and so forth, that have some interest in hunting or fishing, particularly hunting. I think they concentrate on that, and they've got several gunsmiths in the area to build special devices just for that individual. Mm-hmm. And they have asked me, and I sort of brought it up once or twice with the commission, that they might need a special hunt well outside of the normal seasons, just for that individual, mm-hmm. because they aren't expected to live to the end of the year, say, or something like that. Do you facilitate that? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing?
Yes, and that is Youth Outdoors Foundation with
yes.
Karen Carpenter,
yeah.
And that's who I'm talking about. They work with Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Very good. Thank
and
you.
We do terminal hunts for them, and so they are out of season, and they are for a specific type of animal that child is looking to be able to harvest. And so it is an extremely satisfying, fulfilling opportunity for those people who are volunteering with that program. And there, it is expanding leaps and bounds over this last 2 years.
Commissioner Smith?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Should we ask questions now?
Sure. I think it's fine.
Because your ongoing projects list, I've interacted with similar initiatives like you're doing in other states, and first off, what you're doing is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. And in a world that we deal with conflict and angst and anxiety, and I think you bring a level of humanity to what we do as well, so thank you for all of that. But practicality of it. I've seen other states become very engaged with the DUs and the TUs and on to fund these. Mm-hmm. What they needed was the blueprint. So what is state acceptable or federal acceptable? And then you give it to them, and the, and along with the blessing of the department saying, this is where we would like a blind or an access pier, and they run gangbusters with that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we've done that to the extent that we should, but I would be happy to engage with you on that. And the other thing is, on some of these viewing blinds, again, with the appropriate state blueprint, mm-hmm. or what we need to have, Eagle Scout projects mm-hmm. are a great source. I mean, troops are always looking for good projects, and a lot of times they get in a rut about doing the same old, you know, bench at the nursing home. But these are ones that
good thing, though, right?
Well, I know they only have so many benches. Some homes have more benches than people. I think the Eagle Scout projects really need to be challenged.
Yeah.
To come, and I've worked with those too. So
keep them wound up.
2 cups of coffee.
Well, you'll be happy.
I'm here to help you.
We have 2 Eagle Scout bird blind projects right now under construction.
Good.
So you'll be excited about that. We try and work with different types of groups to help out. We've acquired a grant to expand the Cowlitz because it's gotten so large and there's so many people using it. And part of that is a Boy Scout troop is going to assist us with doing the vegetation planting there. So there's lots of different opportunities that we look for.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So here's some of the ADA program accomplishments just in the last 2 years. We've redesigned the disability status application. We've added developmental disability to the disability status application, which was not on there before. Redesigned the reduced fee application, which will happen again. Redesigned the special use permit application. Expanded special use permit renewals from 1 year to 5 year. So initially, if you got a special use permit, you had to renew every year, which made no sense because these are permanent disabilities. It's not going to get better. And so that individual will keep using that type of device. So every 5 years is a pretty good bet so that we can kind of make sure they're doing okay, make sure they haven't moved. Incorporate the road access entry. Drawing submission is online now, so people can now go online. Even though persons with disabilities generally do not use the internet, which is kind of an ironic phenomenon, but they just don't. Expand the road access program from 42 opportunities. It's now up to 261, and we should be close to 300 by the time this 2013 is done. Those are opportunities. Those are not how many people we put in the opportunities. That's the actual opportunity to get behind a gate. We refashioned the road access program booklet. I actually have a friend who is one of the top artists in Washington State, and she has been working to do our covers for us. So I'm extremely thankful to her.
That's a beautiful cover.
Yeah.
I was noticing.
The new one for this next year is incredible. It is Mount St. Helens with 3 deer on a little pond of water. And you can see the timber that had been affected by the explosion. But we have new greenery, and it's just gorgeous. Her artwork generally starts at $5,000.
We'd like copies.
Oh, okay.
Some of us.
Yeah. And she can do lithographs. She can do all that. It's all set up for that. So I have people call and ask for posters, prints, stuff like that. So we do make that available. Develop a statewide ADA public presentation plan, which had never been done. I now travel around Washington State to different organizations, agencies. I'm going to be at the National Conference in Boise for the Disabled Veterans Association, giving a presentation there. And also, we have just recently acquired, as long as the governor will sign, a $69,000 NOVA grant to enlarge the Blue Creek ADA access site. This program has never applied for grants before, and that's my outlook, is to get as much money as we can in here, as many places as we can. If you need any more information, just contact me. I'm available anytime, any day, if you have any questions or anything. And I just wanted to leave you to remember that this is not like the general public where they get to come in and request the opportunity to have different seasons and different things like that. These are accommodations for persons with disabilities. So when we look at changing regulation like the scopes on the crossbows, it's because we are providing an accommodation. We are not providing some special opportunity for somebody to go out there and have some kind of a stand over the general public. It's because that person cannot use a specific device that the general public uses, so we accommodate them with a different type, and it is absolutely a hardship to ask them to remove a scope that is designed specifically on that crossbow and to go out and purchase for another $100 and some another device that is not made for that device, and when you drill and pin it on there, you have now invalidated your warranty. So it's just ironic that we're doing that. These are accommodations, not bigger opportunities to go out and harvest. So,
okay, Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know exactly how to ask this. How do you determine who qualifies for the various levels that you outlined here? And do you get people applying that really are just looking for an advantage?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be that doctor that's going to sign. That was what prompted the change in this application. I worked with the attorney that I work with. I'm assigned with Neil Weiss. He's my ADA attorney. And we sat down and took a look at this to see what kind of triggers we could put in here to be able to, in those cases where we see a physician just signing these things off, that maybe we can go after them. And I think if we went after a couple physicians just for signing off, I think that would set a precedence within the state and the word would get out pretty quick. There's, you have to have a licensed physician, first off. Can't have a nurse practitioner, can't have a physician's assistant. When you get into allowing a physician's assistant to sign, we now have to get a copy by law of their employment contract that specifically says that they are given signing authority for certifying a medical disability. So there's a lot of legal things that go in with who can and cannot sign. So we just accept licensed physicians. A licensed physician in the state of Washington can certify a disability, but sometimes we get an ophthalmologist signing for a lower extremity. And so by requesting on this application their title and their medical license number, which has that the OD or the OP or the MD, I have put together for myself, which I'm the only one in my department, and also for customer service, who's the one that generally processes this, the opportunity to be able to look those up and make sure that we have the right doctor certifying the type of disability that should be within their realm. So, if a red flag comes up, they send it up to me, and I get on that phone and call. So we, in just the last year since we started this application, it's been like night and day on who's actually applying, because the regulations are written right there. Right. And the doctor has to sign. So there's these checkpoints that make it a little bit more stringent, so that we have that something to go after a physician if we see it. And we have two doctors right now that I have on my little list that we're watching. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Commissioner Duvia.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to follow up with Commissioner Perry's comment. That probably is the one thing that gives discredit to this program, is the abuse of it. Mm-hmm. And that's a good start. I think even maybe sending back those, each doctor who signs one of those, mm-hmm. kind of a letter outlining his liability mm-hmm. or something would make sure that he's got full attention or something. But we need to have the committee give us some more insight on how we can, you know, purify this program, because there's a lot of pushback in the, particularly the hunting community, about abuse of this system.
Exactly. And so one of the things we're looking at, as we know, we have a new vendor for our wild system. Persons with Disabilities program was literally thrown in because it really is real new for the agency, because these new obligations, which have just come out, and they're changing constantly. We got a whole bill of new regulations in 2010, 2011, which really dictate what we have to do to provide access. And so by getting and working closely with Kinsale, I've been able to vocally let them know how important it is to make sure that all of these background tentacles that we're requesting, you know, be able to commingle with everything else in there, so that we can start looking, okay, how many persons with lower extremity impairments, where do they come from, you know, where do we, is it up by Bellingham, we have more of them, maybe we should think about more fishing. Are they fishing? Are they hunting? All these kind of things. And so by doing that, it's going to give us incredible opportunity, because we can't find that now. These statistics are all manually done that I have for the ADA program. And so when you look at 108,000 people in the system, but of that 108,000, 74 approximately are active, that leaves a big gap, what's happening with that upper half there. So one of the things that I'm looking at right now, which we have never done since 1998, is to purge the system. And giving everybody who has disability status before 2009, because in 2009 we started asking the question, are you upper, lower extremity, are you blind, visually impaired, so we can get them into those different categories, and repurging that, those old applications that anybody could have come along and just checked a box, and now you can't do that. So if we purge that system, allow them a year and a half, whenever they go into the doctor, over a year and a half, to be able to, you know, next time they're in, just have it filled out again, send it back in, and with this new system, a message will pop up when they go in to purchase their application that, oh, by the way, you haven't finished doing your, you know, new application, which meets the new criteria. I think we're gonna see a lot of purging of those people. So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just want to make a point. When we worked with this committee a couple years ago, it'll be a policy issue that we're going to have to bring back probably for the full commission to discuss, is that we base a lot of our hunting seasons on rate of success. Mm-hmm. And so the amount of days they get and the amount of harvest is taken is dependent upon what weapon you choose and all these type of things. So discussion was, is how do we make disabled hunters, if we see that same philosophy, equally successful. Mm-hmm. So if you take 22% of 108,000, we have another big impact on our resource, and we would also have a season that would last I don't know how long to make that equally successful. So
yeah.
The question is going to be, do we base seasons on providing opportunity, days in the field, or do we make it on basis of making everybody successful? Mm-hmm. And it's an issue that the disabled people, I think, are confused with, too. And I think we've been trying to make sure we provide access mm-hmm. and days in the field, and not focusing on making them equally successful. Mm-hmm. But we're inconsistent, and so we're going to have to address that as we get more and more user groups wanting more and more days and more opportunities. We're in conflict with our own policy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that for the people that participated in this program last year, we only had 14 harvests. And so there's 261 opportunities. There's anywhere from one person to four people of those 261. So we're up in the 600-700 person there. And so we're not getting a lot of success. We have the opportunity, but we don't have the success happening.
Commissioner Kenney?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Come on, pull your mic.
Oh, yeah. I was fortunate enough for many years to hunt with a disabled person, paralyzed below the waist, and he hunted off an ATV, and our whole group got to experience that for quite a few years in the sagebrush country outside of Freda. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say it was probably more meaningful the way we hunted was to drive deer to him, but he had to have a particular angle to shoot from because he couldn't get swiveled around. Mm-hmm. So he really had to think it through and try to give that opportunity to him. And eventually we started thinking, well, we've got to give the opportunity after he gets a deer to the kids and then to the people who've never got a deer. And finally, those old guys that had shot a lot of deer got the leftovers.
Yeah.
But it was a hugely meaningful experience, you know, not just, for him, definitely, but for us, you know, and to watch him get off his quad or his four-wheeler and want to crawl over to the deer to gut it himself. You know, it was just like it meant so much that opportunity was there. And that I remember many years that was more fun to just make sure he got a shot, and he could hit a deer at 500 yards running and with one shot almost every time and drop it. You know, so that was just so meaningful that it became almost the best part of the hunt. So I appreciate, you know, the work you do, and it creates just good. You know, it's not always about taking the wildlife; it's about giving it to someone else. So.
I do have to admit, this position that I'm in is unusual compared to the positions that most people are in, because it's a very gratifying. I get the letters over and over again. I know Phil just got a letter the other day, and I receive those constantly. I have a folder that's pretty thick. I know that this is like Christmas to these guys, and so are the special use permits. They are calling weeks ahead. I'm already getting calls. It doesn't open until June. They'll sometimes cry on the phone because they've been drawn for the access, and it sometimes can get difficult in that aspect. But it really is. For those people that really need the access, yes, we all drive over 60 every once in a while, so we're always going to have those people that are going to, you know, go to their doctor and force it on them to sign, you know, and they get in, they really don't need the opportunity. And so that's part of reviewing these RCWs. What can we do? I know that in reviewing other state regulations, sometimes they say on a lower extremity, not only that you have, an assisted device, but we are really open on that. So anybody that has a lower extremity can essentially get in. That's impacts their ability to walk. Well, maybe we should look at how far they can walk and state that. A lot of states do that, and maybe that will help, you know, eliminate some of those ones that can walk 10 miles. You know, so yeah.
Commissioner Perry.
Yeah, just one more question. We got when we were doing the interviews this time, we got a couple of questions and. I'll admit that I tried to answer them without very much information, and so I'll try to clear that up right now. How does that committee, the committee that we interviewed people, you showed the names up here, how do they interact with the department?
So they interact with me. It depends on who the chair is at the time, but what they do is I'm working with them constantly. I'm on the phone, I'm emailing. Like right now, we have the crossbow and the changes to the reduced fees that we're working on. The last couple meetings, we actually really got a lot of work done on how do we take that need and what is that need and where do we put that need and for a monetary assistance. And it's not about giving somebody who permanently uses wheelchair, who's fortunate enough to work at Microsoft and make $600,000 a year, to the person who, you know, was hit by a semi truck, doesn't have to use a wheelchair, but probably is you know, similarly is in the same state, but has two prosthetic legs, who doesn't require that, but has total 100% state disability. And, you know, they do not make a lot of money, and that's all he has. And so there's the need. The need is to provide those people that just don't have that income to be able to keep hunting and keep fishing and paying for those licenses. We interact trying to identify different key points along the way. I'll work at the agency since I have a higher level of knowledge and resource at my disposal, and then I bring it back to them, and then we make more decisions on it. So we're pretty much right there. We're in the process of drafting everything for the bill for next year. We're pretty much ready. We almost thought we might go this year, but with this new veterans bill that came in, we decided to hold off and wait till next year. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you go back to the first slide that you put up? Oh, sorry. Keep going. The slide that had all the numbers of permits. I think these numbers are kind of surprising. I've seen them before, and it surprised me when I first saw them. There are a lot of permits to process, and there's a lot of permits to look at critically to see if they really are disabled in the way that would justify this particular permit. So when I saw this workload that Dolores takes charge of, I was shocked. And she was explaining to me the individualized attention that needs to be paid to these applications, and that we have her fielding all the calls, dealing with all the controversies. So it's a really complex area. Now you got a little of the flavor of it. Now there is, when I first started serving as chair, and I was getting questions posed about this committee that reports to the commission. It is the only committee, the advisory committee, that reports directly to the commission, right? The director has developed, established a lot of other advisory groups. Mm-hmm. They don't report to us. This is our committee, and it was created by the legislature. Mm-hmm. There is a difference between that committee, which serves hunters and fishers and appreciators, and the ADA committee. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that? Because I've heard the difference, but I wanted everyone to hear the difference.
So, for example, that we're working on these regulation changes and the new bill that we'd like to propose for next year. They have essentially identified this as being one of the high priorities. I have confirmed that because my number one call in there is, why do I not qualify for reduced fees, and why do I?
When you say they, is that the ADA committee or the
yes,
ADA?
Yes, the ADA committee to you guys, to the commission.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I've heard that there is an ADA committee. Hang on. That is more of an agency response to the ADA law requirements. Mm-hmm. Because whatever the commission does, the agency has to comply with ADA. Mm-hmm. So the department is always thinking about that compliance requirement separate from the kind of accommodations that we authorize through our advisory committee. The name is too long.
Yeah.
But
oh,
the
yeah.
legislature defined it. So, yeah. So they're, the ADA committee to the department is something else.
Yeah, they're the ones that are doing the nuts and bolts as far as getting the right applications put together. Since I'm new, I'm still learning on how to do the state paperwork, and so they're helpful in being able to work together to make sure we get all those nuts and bolts. And then I've been working here recently with Dave on how to get the process for changing that, the language for the crossbow, and getting all that changed. So the agency committee works on those things that pertain to the actual writing and constructing of the regulations and the actual stuff that will be submitted. They also are the ones that helped me with OPDMD, which is a new regulation that came out in 2010, and trying to define what is going to be a good speed and the regulation that we're going to put together for the speed of an OPDMD, which really is the only regulation that we need to cover that, as everything else is done under policy. And OPDMD is another type of device that a person with a disability may choose at their willing to use to be able to access an area that they cannot walk into. And so it's for us to decide and look at that area and decide whether there's going to be an impact. Essentially, what I let some of the wildlife managers know is if we drive our vehicles in there, there's no reason that they cannot take a device in there. So we just have to write the permit for them to be able to use that as tight as we can, so we know when they're going in there, we know who they're going to contact before they go in there, and that permit's only going to be open as long as that activity is happening. So,
and do you happen, can you give us a sense of who is on the department's ADA committee? Is it people from each program?
Yeah, so, well, we try to get somebody from every region, and then we try to get somebody from wildlife, somebody from fish, and I have people, a person from DNR, and I have a person from RCO, and I now have a new person from the Department of Licensing, because there's some big legislation that's been brewing for the past 2 years that's going to be a huge impact on us and on DNR, so they've also come into the play on that.
Great. Now I understand.
Yeah.
Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think the slide you have up there is, I think, important for all the commissioners to notice. I received a call early this year from Representative Shelley Short wanting to give free hunting licenses to the veterinarians, vets of the, that we have in there. So you take 33,000 of all play, that times 30 bucks. Or whatever we're going to forgive, we take a significant financial problem. Or if you take, as I mentioned before, 108,000 and take their success rate up to 23%, we don't have the capability to provide that many in most of our herds. So it's, the numbers are, to me, shocking.
Yeah. And these veterans here are the ones who are already living. These are resident veterans.
Right.
So we're opening it up to the non-residents. I tried to fight it just because the aspect that we don't have the opportunity or resources for our persons now. A good example is that fishing site down there at Cowlitz. It is combat fishing at that fishing site because we don't have sites or ramps that get people off and down over those sides of those rivers and have river fishing. We have lots of piers on lakes, but we don't have river access. And so to think of, now we're opening this up to the union and anybody can come here and hunt and fish who are not taxpayers, is going to create a little bit of bad things with our residents, and it's a great opportunity to provide that. So that's why we recommended that they bring it up at least to a resident rate rather than the reduced rate. So there is a little bit of a change there that we requested.
Commissioner Smith?
Just another thank you. Another reflection on the numbers is that, as we see in the audience in any given day, most of the people look a lot like Larry and I. So much more like Larry. But the numbers are going to increase.
Oh boy! Yeah.
In a very short period of time, and that I think will be shocking on that percentage increase.
Yeah, I am completely aware of the aging population, because most of my customers for my program are above 60. And I've actually had 3 deaths here of people that I actually spoke with on somewhat of a regular basis. So there's that sad side to it, too. And I think that's what this purge will help with also when we do that.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
For what you do. I'm fine. I'm very, very happy that you came in and gave this presentation.
Oh,
I've been talking about it for months, so... Excellent job.
And if anybody has any questions, just call. I mean, I work one-on-one with everybody, so thank you.
I'd like a copy, if you could get us copies of that brochure booklet you have there.
Oh, yeah, I'll leave this one with you now.
Well, I think some of us would.
Yeah, I think we'd all like to have one. At
okay.
Least I would, too.
Okay, I'll do that. So I'll just make sure that Tammy gets them sent out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.